Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online, at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
News Talk Breakfast.
In association with AIR. Seamless connections with Ireland's number one broadband provider.
Now we are joined by the Minister for Public Expenditure, Fianna Fáil TD, Michael McGrath. Minister, thank you indeed for talking to us. We do want to get to the stability programme update that you were speaking about yesterday and those growth figures. But can I start first with that very concerning news about KBC, Bank of Ireland in talks to buy KBC, a further reduction in competition in the market. Very worrying.
Good morning, Shane. Yeah, it is a worrying development. This is a commercial decision by KBC, but it is a deeply regrettable one, and it does have consequences. And what they are saying, of course, is that, you know, this may lead to a deal being concluded with Bank of Ireland. They have entered into a memorandum of understanding that provides the possibility of Bank of Ireland purchasing the performing loan portfolio of KBC, and they're examining their options then for the remainder of their portfolio, the non-performing loans as such. If this does come to pass, it is a further blow to the banking sector, to competition in the sector, coming on the heels of the decision of Ulster Bank's parent company.
Are you worried, Minister, that if you're looking from the outside, the signal that this sends out and that Ulster Bank sends out is that Ireland actually is not a good place to do banking business? And I have to put it to you, one of the reasons for that is the political narrative around the whole issue of repossession of houses, even in extreme cases where people are not paying their mortgage, and that makes it very difficult for banks to do business here, and that the chickens are coming home to roost a little bit in relation to that.
If this comes to pass, it is undoubtedly a significant blow. It would mean that 2 of the 5 retail banks operating in Ireland are on a pathway to exit the country, and that has consequences. And of course, we have to consider the root causes of that. I think, you know, you've touched on some issues there. There are other issues, such as the amount of capital that banks in Ireland have to hold in respect of the loans that they issue to their customers. Part of that is traceable to a legacy issue from the economic crisis. But yes, there are factors that lead to these decisions, and we do have to reflect on the reasons why banks that have been here for many decades, in the case of KBC, for over 40 years, are considering a commercial decision that results in their departure from the Irish market. And I think we do have to spare a thought, more than a thought, this morning for the staff of KBC, for whom this news will have come as a hammer blow. And this process will take time, but they're clearly flagging that if the transactions are completed, then they are on their way out of the Irish market. And that is bad news. There's no sugarcoating it. And we do need to consider the reasons why such decisions are being made.
Okay, let's talk about the stability programme update published this week. Pretty positive outlook. A lot dependent, though, obviously, on the vaccination programme. What happens if things don't go to plan with the vaccination programme? Do you need to rewrite this plan?
Well, the plan itself sets out different scenarios for the recovery of the economy, and undoubtedly the recovery of our economy is inextricably linked with the rollout of the vaccination programme. But in broad terms, the vaccination programme, as we have been hearing there from Dr. Colm Henry, is on track. There have been many twists and turns, and no doubt further turns in the road ahead. But in overall terms, it remains on track, and it's proving to be incredibly effective for those who have been vaccinated.
I think the
document that we published during the week is a positive document. Of course, there are many risks and many challenges facing the Irish economy. But what it points to is that there is a way out of this, which can bring about pre-pandemic levels of employment, getting close to it by the end of next year, reaching it and exceeding it over the course of 2023, and also a pathway to the recovery and repair of the public finances after the huge shock of COVID, with a deficit last year of over 18 billion, a forecast deficit this year of a similar order. But if we make sensible decisions about the management of the public finances over time, we will see the unwinding of the emergency COVID-related expenditure. Much of that expenditure is related to income supports, whether it be the pandemic unemployment payment, the employment wage subsidy scheme. And of course, as the economy recovers and as people get back to work, those costs that the Exchequer has to carry will lessen.
Okay.
And I think when we look at the resilience of our tax receipts in recent months, I think we are in a very different place to where we were over a decade ago.
Yeah,
so there is,
we
there
are,
is a route to
we
recovery,
are, Minister.
But it is not without risk.
We are, but and I heard you saying during the week you didn't envisage a return to austerity budgets, but our government spending, regardless of the pandemic, has gone up dramatically. And you are going to have to make some difficult decisions. Now, whether it is in October's budget or the following October's budget, you are going to have to make some tough decisions in terms of reining in public expenditure or increasing taxes, or probably both.
What we have done in managing the expenditure element of COVID is we've drawn a clear line between what we call core expenditure, which is the normal day-to-day expenditure that we'd have if COVID didn't exist, on the one hand, and on the other hand, COVID expenditure. And over time, as the conditions allow and as the economy recovers and we start to see this pandemic in the rearview mirror, we will be unwinding the COVID expenditure. The provision across 2020 and 2021...
It's kind of the non-COVID expenditure I'm talking about, though, Minister. Like, we are ramping up spending. How are we going to pay for it?
Well, the level of expenditure on the core side, the non-COVID-related expenditure, is sustainable. If we can, over time, bring about the recovery of employment, the recovery of the economy, the COVID-related expenditure unwinds gradually, and the core expenditure is on a sustainable pathway. I mean, the assumption in the Stability Programme Update, which is a technical no policy change assumption, because that's the entire foundation of that document, is for expenditure growth of around 3.5% per year.
Okay.
So we do need to make sensible decisions on the expenditure side, and there will be lots of pressures, but we do need to keep the overall project of getting the economy back on an even keel, repairing the public finances on track, because the consequences of not doing so would be
very
serious for all of us.
Two really, really quick things, very, very quickly, Minister, before I let you go. Do Sinn Féin have questions to answer on their internal voter database and social media activities?
Well, the Data Protection Commissioner believes that they have questions to answer, and I would expect Sinn Féin, as the main party of opposition, to fully cooperate. And I think that the sooner that they can answer those questions publicly to address any concerns that members of the public have about how their data is being used...
Are they keeping their heads down at the moment?
I think there's an element of that. I think undoubtedly if the shoe was on the other foot and these questions were being raised by the state's watchdog in relation to Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael or any other party, Sinn Féin would be shouting from high heaven. So I think the sooner we hear from them in detail to answer the questions, the better.
And just very, very briefly, do you and government have questions to answer to the European Commission about mandatory hotel quarantine?
Well, we have received their questions, and clarifications have already been provided to the European Commission. What Ireland has done in relation to mandatory hotel quarantining has not come as a surprise to the European Commission. They were consulted, there was engagement, and the view of the Irish government, based on the advice that we have received, the legal advice, is that what we have done complies with European law, that it is proportionate, okay. It is consistent with decisions already made at EU level as to what member states can do to protect their population. But we will, of course, engage and address any concerns that they have.
Minister Michael McGrath, thank you indeed for talking to Newstalk Breakfast this morning.
Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.